This is Samoan Submission Machine, Samoa Joe, and you're listening to the Pro Wrestling Nation.
You starting to finish?
Yep. Ready?
What's going on? This is one half of the best tag team in the business, Frankie Kazarian.
And here's Christopher Daniels.
And you're listening to Pro Wrestling Nation.
And you have permission to worship us now.
Welcome to another amazing, awesome, stupendous, death-defying, action-packed episode of Pro Wrestling Nation. I, of course, am your host. My name is Funky Sam Medina. I am thrilled and excited to bring you Pro Wrestling Nation, a weekly pro wrestling podcast where we discuss news, results, and you never know who's going to stop by the studio. What's up, people? What's going on? How the heck you doing? I am here. I'm a little bit late. I'm absent. I can't ever get it right, but you know what? I'm here. Usually I'm producing on a Friday night, and today I'm producing on a Saturday morning, so I'm not that late, but here I am. What's up? Welcome. Welcome to another amazing episode of Pro Wrestling Nation. I'm excited to be here. I have my friend, my homeboy, my road dog on the line with me today, Mr. Michael Klinko of WrestlingExpress.net. Now, Michael Klinko does a bunch of things. He runs a website called WrestlingExpress.net. He does a bunch of Let's Plays on YouTube of TEW, Total Extreme Wrestling, my favorite game. That's not a plug because they don't pay me. Even though, actually, I told Adam Ryland I would talk about his game on my show, even though he refused to do an interview with me. Hey, it's okay. It's okay, Adam Ryland. I still enjoy your game. Still enjoy your game. It's awesome. If you haven't played TEW 2016, go get the demo. The demo is available on graydogsoftware.com. But that's not what I'm here to promote. I'm here to promote myself. Michael Klinko is here with me. We're talking Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules with all those extreme moments. ECW would have been proud of Extreme Rules. I'm just kidding. I'm also talking to Michael Klinko about the return of You Know Who. Sorry, that was my Seth Rollins. Also, the brand split. There's a brand split coming up, and Jason Klinko, Michael Klinko. I just did another podcast with somebody named Jason, so that's why I keep saying Jason, I think. Michael Klinko is here talking about the brand split with me, and it's exciting. We talk about some cool stuff, and I'm excited about it, so check it out. Follow Michael Klinko on Twitter at Wrestling Express with one S. And if you don't know by now, you can find Pro Wrestling Nation every single week on iTunes, Stitcher, Beyond Pod, RedDragonsRadio.com, and of course, Gerwick.net. That is GERWECK.net. Gerwick.net. Go find them on anywhere that podcasts are available. Also on YouTube. The Gerwick.net YouTube channel is blowing up. They're getting close to 1,000 subscribers, and you could be the 1,000th subscriber. So go to Gerwick.net. Go to the YouTube page, hit subscribe, and check out their awesome, awesome content. They're going to put me on there. They're going to put some clips from my show on there, which if they do, I really recommend the Briley Pierce interview because that was fun. That was fun. The Briley Pierce interview was fun. And there's a bunch of other stuff I want to get up on YouTube. I want to get my Diana Hart Smith interview up on YouTube. I want to get my Cliff Compton interview up on YouTube. I want to get my Tito Santana. I feel like my Tito Santana was my best interview. I want to get that up on YouTube. Crazy Mary Dobson was a really good one. I want to get that one up on YouTube. What else do I want to get on YouTube? Mickey Knuckles was good. Brittany Savage was really, really good. The AJ Lee fangirls blew that one up because she talks about AJ Lee in that episode. Because they used to be, I don't know if you know, Brittany Savage and AJ Lee were a tag team on the indies and WSU before Little Miss April got signed and became the number one woman in the world. What else? I don't know. But there's a bunch of stuff that I want to put on YouTube. I don't really know how to do it. Everybody tells me it's so easy. You just use Windows Movie Maker and you just put the audio in. I don't know. I tried before and it didn't work out well for me. So I got a new computer though since then. So maybe the new computer will help me. I don't know. Special shout out and a big thank you to my friends. Samoa Joe, the NXT champion. Shout out to you, Samoa Joe. Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, The Addiction, a.k.a. Bad Influence, kicked the episode off. Thank you to them very much. I met them at WrestleCon last year. WrestleCon, it was a lot of fun, man. If you've never been to WrestleMania weekend, even if you don't go to Mania, go to WrestleCon. It's a good time, man. There's a lot of cool people there, a lot of fun people, and it's not that expensive to get in. And if you're broke... fool like me, I was going to say a bad word, but I just thought I'd say fool instead. If you're a broke fool like me, you can afford a couple WrestleFest, con, whatever it's called, tickets, and go see. You don't have to meet anybody. Just go look at it from afar. Just do it. Just go. Go to Orlando next year. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in Orlando next year for WrestleMania. Go there. Have a good time. And don't go to WrestleMania. I'm just kidding. Go there. AJ Styles will be there. Just go. Just go see AJ at WrestleMania. Please. Oh, I wish I could see AJ at WrestleMania. But I was there when Seth Rollins won the title. So, whatever. Okay, so anyways, I had a conversation with Michael Klinko. Like I said, we talked about Extreme Rules. We ran it down. And we talked about the brand extension. We talked about some of the hot topics in the news, Cody Rhodes leaving the WWE and all that good stuff. So stay tuned, sit back. I'm going to play that conversation for you right now, and then I'll come back and I'll close this show out. So peace out. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. I am here with a friend of the program. He is from WrestlingExpress.net. He is Michael Klinko. How are you doing, Michael?
Good, how about you?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for joining me again.
Thanks for having me back.
For sure, for sure. I enjoy having you on. You know, you're fun. You're fun, and you have a lot of good opinions.
Thank you.
So, before we go any further, let's talk about WrestlingExpress.net. Tell us about it. You have. I asked you a question, but I'm going to interrupt you first. You have been teasing, I guess, on Twitter. Big changes coming to the site. I don't know if you have anything to announce or anything to say about it, but go ahead.
I kind of figured that's what you were talking about. As far as announcing anything, no, other than what I really talked about in the post I did earlier in the week. Well, actually.
Go ahead and recap the post if you want.
Actually, it was yesterday, not earlier in the week. The post I did yesterday. Pretty much for anybody who may not have seen the post for whatever reason. As Sam mentioned, it talked about big changes coming to the site. And basically, I guess the best thing I could say is that, you know, the support has been wild and widely unexpected, I guess you could say, thus far, in my opinion, for Wrestling Express. And let's just say something along those lines is another venture. So, yeah, I'll really, you could probably expect more announcements maybe later in the month, closer to the beginning of next month.
Okay, awesome. What did you say in your tweet yesterday? Did you make a tweet about it yesterday? Let me look for you. Do-do-do-do-do. I don't see it. Oh, well. Okay. So sounds good. Changes coming for more info. Oh, here we go. First, the announcement. Next, a little more info. Changes coming. Okay. Anyways, that's pretty neat. I'm excited about that. Are you excited about Wrestling Express changes?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I'm
working little by little
recently about it, for it, so, yeah.
Cool. What else? Let's talk about the Let's Plays. You do a couple Let's Plays. I think you put two episodes up today, actually, because I got notifications for it.
Yeah, I did. Because I didn't realize that it had been 4 days since I put up the last one, and I usually put them up every 2 days. So I just said, you know, screw it, and put up two episodes.
Screw it indeed. You and I do a Let's Play together. It's going to be WWE 2004. It's a really good time, actually, especially since you can share your screen with me over Skype and we can kind of look at stuff and talk stuff over. And so if anybody out there plays TEW, Total Extreme Warfare Wrestling, go ahead and hit up Michael Klinko or hit up myself. Or there's a whole bunch of Let's Players out there for TEW. So if you're a TEW player or you're interested in TEW, the new game 2016 just came out, and hit us up about it. At Wrestling Express with one S, right?
Yep.
There we go. Let's get into this stuff.
Sounds good.
Cody Rhodes requested and was granted his release from the WWE. He did a big lengthy statement talking about how the writers wouldn't listen to him. He wanted to get out of the Stardust character, but nobody would really care. He wants to be WWE champion, but how could that be when the writers pretend like they're on their laptop when the screen isn't even on? He said that some of the writers are too busy chasing developmental divas instead of hearing his ideas. How do you feel about Cody Rhodes leaving, and where do you think this gentleman will end up?
Well, first I'll say I don't blame him for chasing the developmental divas.
That's little JoJo right there.
But as far as Cody Rhodes, I said it the day that it was announced that TNA would be a perfect place for Cody, but that's a move that would make sense, and no offense to Dixie Carter, but she doesn't always do moves that make sense.
I'm sure she wouldn't take offense to that. It's truth.
Yeah, just like Rampage Jackson.
Or Tito Ortiz. Or AJ Styles.
Or Daniels or and Kaz.
The entire Aces and Eights.
Or Scott Steiner.
The Young Bucks.
Eric Bischoff. Garrett.
Goes on and on.
Jason Hervey.
Anyways.
Yeah. We could do a whole episode on TNA.
Yeah, you know, every time I think about TNA, I just get sad because of all the talent that's gone through the company, you know?
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like our last, was it our last Let's Play where we bashed TNA a lot, or?
Probably, we always bashed TNA. It's not even bashing.
The last
anymore.
One and the one before that.
It's not even bashing anymore at this point. That'd be a good gimmick for him, though, bashing Cody Rhodes, where he just bashes people.
Yeah.
He just talks smack. Do you know, I agree, though. I agree that he would be a perfect fit for TNA if they had their stuff together and they were able to be a viable company for him to have some stability at. I feel like he'd be a perfect candidate. Do you know, you probably don't know, I don't know, where the rights to the name Cody Rhodes lie?
Honestly, I do believe since it's his real name, they can't trademark it.
His real name is Cody Runnels.
Well, as far as I know, WWE doesn't have the trademark for it.
Okay.
They may
yeah,
have the
I
trademark
think
for Stardust.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think they have the trademark for Cody Rhodes.
I think you're correct on that, because I never heard them announce it. But then again, it was 10 years ago, and they didn't really announce it
as much as they do now 10 years ago.
Well, also, if I'm correct, since they haven't used it, how long has it been Stardust?
2 years.
Since they haven't used it for an extended period of time, they could have lost the trademark.
So you can just show up as the American Dream Cody Rhodes in TNA.
Well, I mean, then again, TNA isn't interested in people that didn't spend time in WWE developmental.
Or he gets to be the American Nightmare. That'd be cool.
That's true. Pretty sure Dustin was that in WCW, though.
Oh, really?
Well, then TNA imitating WCW. That's something true. We haven't seen before.
Yeah, that's right. Definitely. In recent news, also, Adam Rose has requested and has been granted his WWE release. He was recently arrested for domestic violence and tampering with a witness. Now, I don't know if you know the details on this. Apparently, there was a heated fight between him and his wife, and a heated argument where he grabbed her face. This is what I hear online. I don't know. I wasn't there. He grabbed her face, and she went to call 911, and he took the phone from her hand. And that's tampering with the witness because he was not letting her call the police. He was arrested, and the WWE definitely suspended him. He was already suspended, but they were going to let him off of suspension. The whole drug thing, the Ritalin, and he had a doctor's note and blah, 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 blah. And he was going to get off suspension because he was wrongfully suspended. But after that whole domestic thing, he got suspended indefinitely. And that was, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, something like that. And now he has requested his release from the WWE, and Adam Rose is gone. Thoughts?
Well, I'll say two things about this. There's heavy rumors that even with Adam Cody and now Eden also gone...
Oh, spoiler alert. You're getting ahead of yourself.
There's still rumors that more people are going to be released. I just am very curious who else could be released. Because if there's going to be... With the fact that, you know, the other news, I don't want to spoil more, they need at least some depth on the roster, and if they keep releasing people, you know, unless they're releasing developmental talent, which... You know, if they're doing that, you know, Dixie should be keeping a close eye on Twitter then. But as far as Adam Rose, I think, much like Cody, I think it's at this point, what's best for Adam is to not be a part of WWE anymore. Like, what's best for Cody.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. It's kind of time for them to move on and do their own thing now at this point.
Yeah, to, you know, to compare, it's like Joe and Bobby Roode leaving TNA after such a long time. It's, you know, fair to say that, yes, it's bad. Well, in terms of them and compared to Adam Rose and, well, Cody Rhodes compares to them pretty much. But
I could also see Adam Rose in TNA.
I could, too.
Another news. Sorry. Eden Styles, a.k.a. Mrs. Cody Rhodes, has also requested and been granted her release. She made a statement on Twitter saying that she's been teasing it for the past couple of weeks now, and she has had new career opportunities that she's going to pursue. It's not a surprise because Cody left, and, you know, she was getting Cody chants at a couple's house shows, apparently. I was reading online, like, they were chanting Cody at her, and similar to the way they were chanting CM Punk at AJ Lee when he left. Yeah, so Eden Styles, Adam Rose, and Cody Rhodes are all gone. I feel like Eden, is the most likely out of the three to leave the wrestling business. Mm-hmm. She's a broadcaster. She could do lots of other things. She's gorgeous. She could be a model. She could do pretty much anything she wants at this point. So I figure out of the three, Eden is the most likely to leave the business. What do you think for Eden?
Honestly, I think that she is done with the business, and I think that as far as other career opportunities, I think those other career opportunities will remove her from the business. And I think that though she was a really good ring announcer, and maybe, you know, not to bring up DNA again, but even other companies could, you know, use a facelift as far as ring announcers go. But if you want to shoot for a new look, the first thing you go for is redoing the announce team. And, you know, a ring announcer is a part of the announce team.
That's true. I just can't see TNA spending that much more money.
But then again, TNA has the money to spend.
Then again, I might be like, oh, if you want me, you got to bring my wife in, too.
True. But we
what are the chance? What are the chances of Mr. and Mrs. Cody Rhodes buying TNA?
To quote Eric Bischoff, I think they would be better off investing in, what did he say, a banana stand or something like that? Or a fruit stand?
Yeah, probably.
Or some, I think he said something like new fruit, basically saying a new company.
Yeah, I mean, the TNA name is tarnished.
Very true. Very true.
It's very, very tarnished, you know? I mean, it's Dixie's own doing at this point. I heard a lot of, you know, she listens to a lot of people. Who was it? I don't remember who it was, so I can't get in trouble for saying it. But somebody was saying how she kind of never felt that, like when she first started in the business, she kind of felt like she didn't belong in the wrestling business, and she didn't want to, like, step on people's toes. So she didn't make the decisions. She always left other people to make decisions, whether it's Jeff Jarrett, Vince Russo, Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff, now Gaborik, you know. And so Dixie's never really taken charge and taken the initiative to make big decisions, and that's one thing that really hurt TNA wrestling.
I will say this, that Dixie should have used her background in PR, because that's what she did before TNA.
Yes.
Spoiler alert to anybody who didn't know. And she should have focused on that. She should have focused on getting the name of the company out, because if she, you know, she knows PR.
That's not a spoiler. That's like saying, oh, Hulk Hogan won the Royal Rumble 91. Oops.
Well, if you've never seen the Royal Rumble 91, then...
You gotta see it at this point. Anyways, go on.
But... I guess what I'm trying to say is, in some cases, giving the reins to people like a Russo, like a Bischoff, to run the company isn't totally a bad thing. It's just some people that you mentioned. I think the biggest mistake that TNA made was giving people who never had a history in creative, the reins over creative, or never had a history in talent relations, over the reins of talent relations. Because one doesn't have to do with the other. Yet,
right.
One person ran both. I don't know if that's still the case, because I don't know if John Gaborik still runs talent relations and creative. I know he runs talent relations, though.
And I know that when Gaborik first came on, people were saying that the job that he had, it was nothing like what he did in WWE.
It wasn't.
Yeah. Anyways, we're talking about TNA. We shouldn't be talking about TNA.
Somebody has to.
In other news, let's see, there was one more news thing I wanted to talk about here before we got into Extreme Rules. There's been so much happening.
Extension?
No, but thank you for spoiling that, buddy. That's after Extreme Rules.
I'm good at that.
Yeah, you're good at that. Oh, I noticed in your videos that you've been using a webcam, and it's kind of neat to, like, watch your head kind of wobble in the background while you talk. Because, you know, you have a microphone in front of you, so you can't really see your face. You can just see the top of your head, and so you just kind of see your head wobble back and forth. Oh, how about this one? Here's a news article I didn't know about that just came out today. Former TNA producer Jason Hervey, speak of the devil. Former TNA producer Jason Hervey of the Wonder Years fame reportedly serving jail time for a DUI. Well, that's not that big of a deal.
Oh.
There was something else that I wanted to say in news that I had in my mind, but I don't think I remember. I guess it wasn't that important then. Oh, Brandi Rhodes made a statement. How about that? Error. I can't open that damn article.
Well, if it wasn't that important, it must have had something to do with TNA.
WWE's going to the Philippines for the first time ever. All right, was there another departure recently in the WWE? I feel like there was another departure.
Other than the two announcers, Rich Brennan,
oh yeah, I don't
Kyle Edwards, those, and the eight from a couple weeks ago.
I don't care about those guys. I do care about Kyle Edwards though, because he was a good announcer, and he's that dude from Canada. I don't know how to pronounce his real name, but you know, he's a lifelong wrestling fan, and he thinks he got released because he was too passionate about the business.
Well, everybody knows Vince hates wrestling fans.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's
just ask Freddie Prinze Jr.
Just ask any wrestling fan. Just ask. Go to the audience and start polling people.
Well, the audience thinks he hates him because of Roman Reigns, but meh. I'm sure we'll get to that.
So we had a pay-per-view.
Yes, we did.
If you want to call it that. And I'm going to get the results right up. So the dark match of the show was Dolph Ziggler in his nice little pink tights taking on Baron Corbin. You know who Baron Corbin is, by the way?
He's an indie wrestler, right?
Yeah, he's been around for a long, long time, and I don't know why the WWE made a guy that rhymes with Baron Corbin.
Yeah, I know of him. I haven't watched him work for a while.
I'm friends with him on Facebook. At least I used to be. We used to play Words of Friends, and he would whoop my butt. Oh yeah, I'm still friends with him on Facebook. I just don't play Words of Friends anymore. Okay, so Baron Corbin took on Dolph Ziggler, and it was a no DQ match, I believe. And I didn't really see the match, but I do know that Baron Corbin ended up winning with a low blow to Dolph for the 1-2-3. What are your thoughts? Did you see it?
I did not.
I did not either. What do you think about this feud and stuff?
At first, I thought it was very much like Tyler Breeze's first feud, only without, you know, only a little bit better because it didn't have Summer Rae.
Because Dolph Ziggler was involved?
Yeah, and it was the guy's first feud off of NXT. But I will say that I feel like it's added a little bit more substance to the feud. And it's one of their better feuds going on right now. But I think that after Money in the Bank, it needs to end. And they need to move Baron and Dolph off in different directions.
Where did either one of these guys go from here, though?
Well, to their advantage, after their feud, there'll be a draft not too long after.
So
that should help them.
So I was listening to Disco Inferno on some podcasts. He's on a few different podcasts here and there. He said, remember when Baron Corbin won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal?
Yeah.
Remember when he came out and he posed next to the trophy and he wept like a little girl? He cried. He was so honored that he cried. Isn't his gimmick, I'm better than you?
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Isn't his gimmick, I'm better than you? Wouldn't his character have come out and thrown the Andre the Giant Memorial trophy on the ground and said, this is a piece of crap. This is not Andre the Giant. I'm better than Andre the Giant. I'm a better big man. I'm a better wrestler. I make Andre the Giant roll over in his grave. Like, wouldn't that have been a better thing for his character to do than cry?
Wow. Glenn Gilberti was actually a good idea.
I know, go figure, right? It's a chart buster.
Yeah, first time I've ever heard that.
In the first match of the night, besides the dark match, which I didn't see, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, a.k.a. the Club Sandwich, took on the Usos in a Tornado Tag Team match. I'm just out of it right now. I can't even talk. Tornado Tag Team match. This match went 8 minutes and 37 seconds. It was decent. I guess it was extreme because there was a lot of chaos because all four men were in the ring at the same time, so that makes it extreme. You know, they're not really being extreme anymore because it's a PG era, and so for them to be extreme, they are just being chaotic, I think. And this definitely was chaotic. And yeah, the club got the win. What do you think?
As far as the match goes, as far as the show goes, Extreme Rules, I believe, is just about having gimmick matches, and technically a Texas Tornado match is a gimmick match.
Yeah, there you go. That's one good way to put it.
As far as the match, I think that the club had to win, because if you heard the crowd, they weren't big fans of the Usos.
Oh, they were booing the Usos like they're Roman Reigns' as cousins or something.
And as far as that goes, the stupidest thing they could have done is given the Usos a put the Usos together with Roman, because that made the crowd hate them even more.
Yep. And the Usos are stale. I mean, they've been around for, like, so long.
As far as the club winning, I think that's the only way they could have went with it, because, well, they're new. They obviously spent money to get them out of New Japan, so they need to make their investment worthwhile.
Yeah.
And also, what good are they doing with the Usos now that the Usos couldn't have taken a loss?
Yeah, so. There you go. Up next for the WWE United States Championship, we had the champion Kalisto put his title on the line against the Bulgarian brute Rusev with the Ravishing Russian Lana. This match was okay. I said on my little preview time last week that there's no way that Kalisto should be able to beat Rusev. There's no way that Kalisto should have beaten Ryback twice. But hey, he did it, whatever. This is a pretty decent match. Kind of what you'd expect from these two guys, a big guy and a little guy. And Rusev ended up getting him in the accolade. And not just did he get him the accolade, he bent Kalisto in half. Oh my goodness, that looked painful. Rusev gets the win. He's the new United States champion.
As far as Rusev goes, he can't be repaired. I don't believe he can be repaired after the horrible booking he went through last year. From the breakup with Lana to, you know, to the big loss.
Hot summer!
Losses to Cena, to the travesty and the horrible TV that we saw from Summer Rae and Dolph Ziggler and Lana. He can't be repaired. And if he does, and if he somehow can be, it doesn't happen with one United States title win. And it sure as hell won't happen by beating Kalisto. I think the only way he can be repaired is going back to the scene of the crime. And by beating John Cena.
That's not going to happen.
He can't be repaired.
It sucks for him. Up next, we have the...
Can he be an effective heel? Yeah, but as good as he was, no.
Yeah, he was one of the top heels in the company going to WrestleMania 31.
And very true.
And now, I mean, you know, you mentioned the Summer Rae thing and the breakup with Lana thing and the storyline with Dolph where he was telling Lana, I never slept with her, I swear. That wasn't even half as bad as the League of Nations.
You're right, and that's why I used to call the League of Nations the League of the Cue Cards.
What about the League of the League of Booty? I call them the League of Booty. Speaking of booty, up next we have the WWE World Tag Team Championship. Ah, that's a good segue. The New Day, Big E and Xavier Woods, with Kofi Kingston in their corner, defended the titles against the Vaudevillains in 6 minutes and 20 seconds. Now, I think, as far as I know, this is the first time that Xavier has stepped in as tag team champion. I know I've been wanting to see it because I've been wanting to see the Freebird rules. I remember the Jersey Triad was doing that in WCW. That's my first take of the Freebirds. I didn't watch the Freebirds growing up, but I did watch the Jersey Triad. I don't know if you remember them. It was DDP, Canyon, and Bam Bam Bigelow. And basically, they were the Freebirds of the 90s, the late 90s, I guess. And now we have the Freebirds of today. I was surprised to see Xavier Woods in the match. I wonder if Kofi's hurt or something, because it was the first, like I said, as far as I know, it was the first time that Xavier Woods was in the match, you know, for the tag titles. The New Day won in 6 minutes and 20 seconds, and there's not much special about this match. The Vaudevillains are still new. They're not that great, and the audience isn't really behind them. What do you think?
I will say, as far as Kofi goes, I think it has to do with the easy schedule he's been getting after his kid was born. I think that might have something to do with it. I'm not saying I'm against Xavier competing. I just think he makes a better manager.
Yeah. He has way more personality on the outside than anybody else.
Exactly. Very true. As far as the Vaudevillains, I think for a new team, they're getting a good reaction, but I think this was the perfect position for them. But it's like I said, I think on Raw, either that or after the match, that at this point, the New Day are running out of challengers and they have to lose it to someone. Because I don't see them keeping the titles until... Well, I'll put it this way. I don't think them dropping the titles to Enzo and Cass would be the best way to go. I think the Dudleys dropping the titles to Enzo and Cass would be the best way to go.
Yeah, but the Dudleys have won the belts a long time ago.
I also think that the best way to do it is to have the Dudleys been heels as the champions.
So you're saying like a Dudley boys win it on Sunday and lose it on Monday kind of thing?
No, I think they should. I think they should win it at a paper. Well, if anything, let them win it. Maybe beat the New Day twice, or whatever. You know, they don't even have to beat the New Day twice. They can beat the New Day in primetime. If you want to bring them together for the 15th time. Or, and then the next pay-per-view, you have Enzo and Cass.
Okay. So basically, the Dudley Boys will hold the belts for 3 weeks.
Or you have it, the Dudleys versus Enzo and Cass, the Dudleys cheat to win, you know, bad finish, and then you bring it back and have Enzo and Cass win.
Hey, what would you think of a tag team Money in the Bank match? Okay, my internet was cropping out or something.
Yeah, no problem.
So let's move along to the next match. In 18 minutes and 18 seconds, this could have been match of the night. It could have been. It may have been. The Miz, with Maurice, successfully defends the Intercontinental Championship against Cesaro, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. This match, you know what? Going into it, I did not know who was going to win. I was hoping The Miz would win because I really like what he's been doing lately with Maurice. I like his new character. I feel like he's in the process of establishing his new character. And if he loses the belt now, then it kind of undoes what he's done the last few weeks. And so I wanted The Miz to win, but at the same time, you know, Sami Zayn could win, and that could continue his feud with Kevin Owens, and blah, blah, blah. So who knows where they're going to go, right? Cesaro could have won. Kevin Owens could have won. Hell, this match could have gone any way. There was a few times where I thought Sami Zayn was actually going to get the 1-2-3, but the match ends up with Sami Zayn hits the Helluva kick on Cesaro, and Kevin Owens pulls Sami Zayn out of the ring. Miz pins Cesaro 1-2-3. Miz retains. What are your thoughts?
The one critical thing I have to say about the match is for JBL actually to compare that match to Steamboat versus Savage or Bret Hart versus Davey Boy.
Oh, you know what? He did do that. I was so upset about that, actually.
That's insulting to those matches because they were on a level of their own. And the second thing about that is they were singles matches. They weren't mm-hmm. multi-man matches. You want to compare that match to anything, compare it to other multi-man matches. I'm sorry, Bradshaw. I know you have outdated references, but, you know, there are other multi-man matches that were good in WWE. I mean, hell.
I was so offended when he said that because, I'm sorry, this was a great match for 2016, but this is no Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat.
I totally agree. You know, you want to compare it to a match? Compare it to the Divas, the women's match at WrestleMania.
Compare it to the Fatal 4-Way match at WrestleMania 2000.
Compare it to Dolph Ziggler, Tyson Kidd, and Cesaro from SmackDown a few years ago.
Compare it to anything. Yeah, anything but those. Yeah, those two matches, the Bret Hart versus Davey Boy Smith and the Ricky Steamboat versus Randy Savage, those are elite matches. Those matches are going to go down as some of the greatest matches in history. And I'm sorry, this was a good match. It was a great match. But this is not on the level of elite matches.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Okay, finish your thought.
You know, and the last point I'll say about that is Davey Boy and Bret attracted the entire audience to Wembley Stadium because they were the main event. But to your point about The Miz, there's a reason why in my WWE 2015 Let's Play, I gave The Miz the Intercontinental title because I think he's a capable Intercontinental champion if you let him be a heel. They're doing it, and I think this might be the best Miz we've seen thus far in his career.
I can definitely agree with that. I feel like I really like The Miz. I was really behind him when he was WWE champion. But I do feel like he has a rejuvenation right now, and he's doing some good stuff.
Yeah.
I like his little jacket that he wears to the ring, like that vest thing. I like that a lot. I think it looks really cool on him.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Vince Russo, bro,
and
he looks like a star.
As far as Cesaro, though, I think he needs to get out of the Intercontinental title picture. Yes, he needs to be a champion. But he should be the one facing Rusev. Titus should be the one facing Miz.
Yeah, I like those matchups, actually. I agree with that completely.
So, just a thought.
Up next, we had a 26-minute, 21-second match. Going into it, this match sounded like it was going to be fun. But this match was so boring. Dean Ambrose defeats Chris Jericho in the first ever WWE Asylum match. Now, this match was cool at first, and it was cool at the end, but the middle just drug and drug and drug. They were going for each weapon, and you're like, okay, they're going to get that one, okay, now they're going to get that one, okay, now they're going to get that one, and the match just felt so boring. I was just waiting. I was begging for this match to be over, and it wasn't. And it wasn't, and it wasn't, and it wasn't. Finally, Dean went up there. There was a mop and a bucket, and the bucket was up there last. And I guess they never got the plant. But Dean went up, got the bucket. Inside the bucket, he had a bag. Inside the bag, he had tacks. So he drops the tacks on the ground. They teased it about 8 times. They teased those tacks so hard, like, that somebody's gonna fall into them, like, So many times, to the point where I just don't care anymore. Finally, Jericho took, I think, a backdrop into the text, and he was selling that really, really bad. You know, it was really terrible. And Dean got the pin, the 1-2-3. Now, the person who I felt sorry for the most was the referee, because the referee clearly has to jump over them, slide onto the ground, and pound his hand into the mat 3 times. Now, doing that with tacks around you is not very safe to do, but nonetheless, the referee did it, and I don't think he got hurt. What are your thoughts on this match? Do you think it was as boring as I did?
I feel like they could have did the same shit that they did in a lot less time.
Yeah, they could have done it in 16 minutes.
Exactly, exactly. And I believe, I think I may have told you this, that I feel like it should have been more like the Lethal Lockdown match, where the weapons were hanging from the roof, and it was more like a steel cage with a roof, rather than, I guess, a little bit like the triple tier cage from WCW.
Yeah, it was a little more silly. I feel like Lethal Lockdown does have some... I don't know. Lethal Lockdown's better than this.
Yeah.
Nine minutes and 30 seconds. Charlotte.
None
defeats...
of the match.
What's that?
Well, no. Other than that, I have to, you know, give props to Jericho for taking the tags.
Yeah, that's true. He did take the tags like a champ, and they were all over him too, all in his back and his arm and his elbow. Yeah. Jericho was covered in tacks, and then Dean had one tack, and he was like dying from it.
Yeah.
9 minutes and 30 seconds, Charlotte defeats Natalya to retain her WWE Women's Championship. The stipulation was that if Ric Flair came to ringside, then Charlotte would lose the title automatically. I'm getting sick of shenanigans. I'm really getting sick of shenanigans in these women's titles matches. Last month, they had the Bret Hart thing where they did the Montreal Screwjob. And this month, they had this... this match, Ric Flair's music hit, and I'm like, Flair can't come out, Flair can't come out, what's happening? And then I'm like, it can't be Flair, it has to be somebody else. And then you see the robe, and you see the fake hair, whatever it was. And then, turns around, and it's Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke, what are you doing here? She must be, somebody's lackey. She must need to be somebody's lackey, because now that Emma's gone, Dana Brooke was going, oh, my news story was going to be about Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks is injured. She got a concussion because last weekend she was in a multi-women's match and the referee kneed her in the head. I don't know if you know about that.
I do. Very unfortunate, but I think if the injury is not severe or if she won't miss a grave amount of time, it's not a bad thing.
I just hope she can be back by SummerSlam. Like, yeah, to build up her match with Charlotte.
That's basically what I'm saying. If it's not a bad injury, then it's not a bad thing that she's going to be off TV. But if it is a bad thing, that's horrible. Because she would have won the title.
Yeah, she definitely would have won the title. Okay, so anyways, like I was saying, Dana Brooke comes out, Emma's hurt, so Dana Brooke has to be somebody's sidekick. She distracts Natty, Charlotte gets her in the figure eight, Natty taps out, I mean. And Charlotte's still your women's champion. What do you think of this match? And what do you think of the endings with the shenanigans?
I said it that it would have made more sense to see Charles Robinson, but I guess since referee already with Scott Armstrong, you can't have two dirty referees. I also think that
Scott Armstrong
off
was like
just having
so
play.
Yeah, Scott Armstrong was like so 2 years ago.
Very true. I feel like having Ric Flair's music play and nobody come out would have been better. But playing off the angle that they did on Raw, I think it's very possible that if Emma never got hurt, they may have started to form their own version of the Four Horsemen, with Dana being the enforcer, Flair, Charlotte being the champion. I do think Flair could have been an asset to the group if that's what they were doing, but with Emma on the shelf, I don't know if that's still the plan, because Flair could have been the JJ.
I agree. I felt like, you know, let's just go ahead a little bit to Raw. Charlotte kind of kicked Flair to the side. She told Ric Flair, get out of my ring. She cut this huge promo on him, talking about how he was never there for her when she was growing up. She understands it now, but now she's sick of letting him bask in her glory. And get the hell out of my ring. And then Flair cried. Oh, you're gonna cry? You're gonna cry? Then look, the Nature Boy's crying. Get out of here, you idiot. I felt like it was time to build, not time to tear down. I felt like they were putting together a group, like a stable, and I felt like Flair would be the perfect manager for this group. Like, I, for one, am for Charlotte breaking away from Ric Flair. I think it would have been great, I think it would have been fantastic, but not in this situation. I felt like, okay, they're building now, you know? Because if you add one person, you take one person out, what are you really accomplishing? She's just going to be like Ric Flair with big boobs. Like, that's all she is now. And so I feel like they should have built. They should have added even one or two more girls and made it into, like, a four horseman and had Ric Flair as their manager for now. And then, eventually, they could have kicked him out.
I think originally that was the plan, but I think plans may have changed with Emma on the shelf.
Yeah, that's possible.
I think that's the reason.
You might be right.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why.
You might be right. Are you done with this match? Anything else? Anything to add?
No.
And our main event for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, the guy, just the guy, Roman Reigns, puts his title on the line against the phenomenal guy, AJ Styles. Now, this match also, I feel like, went a little bit too long. It was an Extreme Rules match, so there's no rules, basically. So Extreme No Rules match. And there's a lot of shenanigans in this match, too. A lot of shenanigans. The club came out and beat up on Roman, and the Usos came out, and AJ hit Roman with a couple Styles clashes. He hit him with one on the chair. Now, a lot of people are complaining online because the Styles clash on the chair didn't put Roman away. The Usos pulled AJ out of the ring. Like, what do you people expect? If, of course, it's not going to put somebody away if you get pulled out of the ring. Anyways, the match ended with AJ going for a phenomenal forearm, which I hate as a finisher, and Roman speared him out of the air. I knew this was going to happen. I knew this spot was inevitable, but it looked pretty, pretty darn cool. I feel like AJ is going to get buried from here on out, but that's a different story. AJ Styles loses to Roman Reigns in 22 minutes and 20 something seconds. What do you think?
I completely agree that I knew people were going to be irritated by the finish, and I think AJ, well, number one, they put AJ over in that match like gold, because half the stuff he took looked incredibly painful. From the tables to being rammed headfirst into the side of the ring, half that stuff looked incredibly painful, and the fact that he made it as far as he did is a testament to Styles and strong booking. Fact of the matter is, you're right. Roman survived because of the Usos pulling him out of the ring. And if anybody thought that AJ was going to win, look at how protected Roman has been for the last 3 years. Since he came up, Roman is the only Shield member that's been protected.
If anybody thought AJ was going to win, you haven't been paying attention.
You're delusional. That's not saying that the match was good. The match was good, yeah.
It's not saying that AJ's not fantastic. It's just the way it works.
You're right. You're right. Also, not to play the card of a dirt sheet reader, but it's been said that Vince loved AJ's performance at Extreme Rules and is highly invested in AJ Styles. If I had to guess, AJ could become a key player in something we talk about later.
AJ Styles could become the phenomenal mid-card.
And I think eventually AJ will be a world champion. I think people have no patience anymore, and people don't know how to wait for eventual to heaven. I just don't, you just can't expect after how long they've been building up Roman Reigns for them to actually give AJ Styles to break up Roman's title reign once again and give AJ Styles a title reign. Number one, that would hurt AJ Styles, and number two, that would kill the person you've been building for the last 2 years, which would be stupid. As far as where AJ goes from here, I don't know.
I feel like now before I say this, I'm gonna say first that AJ Styles is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. He's in my top five all-time favorites. I love AJ Styles a lot, and I think he's amazing and phenomenal. I don't think AJ is going to ever get another shot at the WWE Championship ever again.
I think that... Fine. If you haven't been on Twitter for the last 2 days, the brand extension's coming back. Sorry to spoil it again. I spoiled it earlier, but
it's okay. I mean, we're pretty much done with Extreme Rules, so let's go to this on Tuesday morning. Well, anything from Raw? Anything that we need to care about? The club split up. There was a bunch of qualifying matches for Money in the Bank. Oh, you know what? Let's not talk about that. Hold on a second. Don't get ahead of ourselves here. Roman Reigns beats AJ Styles 1-2-3. He's celebrating, and out of nowhere, Seth Rollins hits the ring. Seth Rollins spins Roman around, hits the pedigree, bam, Roman's out. The crowd's going bananas, the crowd's going ballistic for Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins grabs a belt, lifts it up over his head as the pay-per-view fades to black. And now, I feel like they have the perfect opportunity to bring Seth in as a huge babyface, and I felt like it would have been great and amazing. The next night on Raw, Seth came out and turned heel. He talked about how people didn't like him, and people thought he was a weak champion, and then he went to the hospital, and he had so much fan mail, so much letters, and so many gifts, he just didn't know what to do with them all. So you know what he did with them all? He put them in a garbage can, and he lit them on fire, because he didn't need them now, and he doesn't need them, he didn't need them then, and he doesn't need them now. So there's that. Shane books Seth versus Roman, Money in the Bank, and we had a bunch of Money in the Bank qualifiers. So far, the Money in the Bank participants are Kevin Owens, Cesaro, Sami Zayn. Sounds familiar, right? That's like the Fatal 4-Way match minus The Miz. Kevin Owens, Cesaro, Sami Zayn, Dean Ambrose, Chris Jericho, and on SmackDown, Alberto Del Rio. So we have one more guy coming in the match. We don't need to talk about that now, though, because Money in the Bank is a couple weeks away. But Tuesday, the next morning, WWE announced a brand split. They said, starting on July 19th, SmackDown will be live. SmackDown's going to be live, and it's going to have its own distinctive roster, along with Raw, who's also going to have its own distinctive roster. SmackDown's going to Tuesdays, it's going to be live, and there's going to be a draft. So I'm really excited about this. What are your thoughts?
As far as the draft and to bring in everything full circle, anybody who pays attention to what I've been posting a few months back, I did a fan interaction post about the brand split. I even did a post about the brand split. I will be doing more posts about the brand split. Now it's official. Heads up. Fact is, I love the idea of a brand split coming back, and that's the reason why I think AJ Styles will eventually become a WWE champion, because the, you know, pulling stuff that you were talking about before, as rumored by Dave Meltzer, there's talk of two world titles coming back. So, one for SmackDown, one for Raw. And in all honesty, I would rather see AJ Styles as world champion over John Cena winning a second-rate world title to break Ric Flair.
To tie Ric Flair.
Well, to break Ric Flair, to tie Ric Flair. You know, where there's one, there's going to be two.
Break him, tie him up. He'll take it all.
I'd rather him break his United States title reigns, which I think he's one or two away from doing that. I'd rather him do that than break the world title reigns by winning a second-rate world title.
Didn't he already beat Ric Flair as the United States title?
I think AJ Styles will become world champion. Do what?
Didn't he already beat Ric Flair's US title?
I don't know, ex-JBL.
Okay. Hey, John Bradshaw Layfield. I'm excited about the draft, man. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be something really neat.
And also, Meltzer mentioned that the draft is likely going to be taking place on July 11th.
Okay, is that the weekend prior? No, that's like a week prior.
Is a week prior on a Monday.
Do you know what they should do? I was talking to some people online about this. They should have a studio set up somewhere, like in a performance center or a building or something, and they should do an NFL style draft where it's just the draft and it's like a Saturday before Raw, and they're just doing the draft. I think that'd be really cool.
For that, I think they need GMs and not Stephanie and Shane, because what they don't understand is eventually Shane's going to get stale. Shane's not going to keep getting the reaction that he gets every time he walks out to the ring. You know, the best thing that they've done for Hunter is take him off TV. But it's not going to, it's the once Shane gets stale, he's not going to get the reaction he gets anymore. They need to have all of them be like Vince. I don't care if USA Network loves the McMahons. The McMahons aren't active wrestlers. So they should not be featured portions of the show. The talent should be featured portions of the show.
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel like Shane should get one show and Stephanie should get one show and they should stop being weird.
And, you know, bring back a Brad Maddox or, I don't want to say Teddy Long, but.
Play a holla holla. Hey, Teddy Long is a member of Correct.net, just like myself, so I say bring back Teddy Long.
Well, I mean, if Teddy wants it back, put him on Raw instead of SmackDown.
Make a tag team match, playa.
Really mess with people.
So I'm on the Wikipedia page for the United States title because I wanted to see who had the most reigns. By the way, Ric Flair still has the most reigns at six times. There's a section here, though, for other names, like, you know, other things the United States title was actually referred to as. They have the NWA United States Heavyweight Championship. They have the NWA United States Heavyweight Championship again. They have the WCW United States Heavyweight Championship. They have the WCW United States Heavyweight Championship again. And they have the WWE Mex-America Championship listed on here. Now, I don't think the belt was actually ever officially called the Mex-America title. But if you think back a little bit, I don't know, you're kind of young. I don't know if you remember this. But at one point, Lance Storm won the WCW United States title. He slapped a sticker on it and called it the Canadian title. And that was actually for a couple of months. So I feel like the WCW Canadian Championship should be on this list.
You're correct. I do remember that. I mean, I don't remember when I was growing up. I do remember rewatching it and seeing it.
I remember when it happened.
I think that it gave us a reprieve from the same old, same old. And, you know, basically, you know, okay, it's not going to be called the United States title anymore. Okay, the title's been called that for the last 25 years, so what are you going to call it? You know,
do you remember that era, Lance Storm, he won three belts and he changed all three names?
Yep.
Do you remember what he named the hardcore title in WCW? The Saskatchewan Hardcore International title.
Yeah, I knew it was Saskatchewan. I didn't remember what the other initials were.
What does that spell? Saskatchewan Hardcore International title.
Well, it's fell shit.
Exactly. And I feel like they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Don't let your mom hear you cussing over there. You're going to get in trouble. Like, I told you that wrestling was a bad influence on you, Michael. You hear that from the other room.
But
while she's watching Judge Judy.
But I think that was good, and I think I mean, if Mex America was actually over,
it wasn't.
Then it would have been good to actually do that, but it wasn't. So
yeah, here's an unofficial news. It's unofficial though. WWE plans to create another world title for the brand split. In breaking news, the audio update on the Wrestling Observer website, Dave Meltzer noted that Vince McMahon is really pumped up and he's full of ideas, and the expectation is that the company will get aggressive in their pursuit of talent from other companies. I would expect to see WWE go after talent in New Japan, Mexico, Ring of Honor, and perhaps TNA, if they are free and clear of their contracts and are about to explore. I am sure they will move names from NXT up to the main roster, but keep in mind that they would need to keep some top names there because NXT has become a touring brand. The NXT B shows in Florida don't draw well because most of the top NXT talent names headline the A show, so they need to keep talent in NXT so they can keep the brand strong. As of now, the plan is to have two world champions. Also, while not official, Meltzer said that the assumption within WWE is that the United States title would be on one brand and the Intercontinental title would be on the other brand. There's no word on the plans for the rest of the titles, but later said WWE won't bring back the big gold belt, but an identical world title. Interesting. You know, so I was thinking about this. You know what would be really cool? You know what the WWE Championship looks like, correct?
Yeah.
So you know the little red stripe on the bottom of the logo?
Yeah.
Imagine if they made another belt exactly like it, but with a blue stripe on the bottom. I think that'd be pretty neat.
See, the only way I think this works out is if they make it where the whatever brand does not have the WWE World Heavyweight title, they make that title obviously the second-rate title and the grooming to the richest prize in the game.
Like, but they're both the richest prize in the game.
Like the ECW World title was. Where somebody wins the ECW title, that means they're moving up to SmackDown or Raw.
Oh, you mean like Chavo Guerrero?
I bet it, well, yeah, actually, Chavo did end up moving up to SmackDown, and he did become
a jobber. Oh, here we go. Here's a picture. Let me send this to you right now. What's easier for you, Twitter or Facebook?
Probably Facebook, because I think it's open already.
Okay, let me see here. What's your name again? Oh, yeah.
Because, yes, I may have an old school mentality with this, but there should not be two world titles. There should not be two world titles because it splits the prestige of the belt. And they've spent the last, 3 years repairing the prestige?
Yeah, something like that.
So, you know, you inflicted the damage for the years that the double world title was there, and by the end of the time that the World Heavyweight title was gone, it meant nothing.
The World Heavyweight title never meant anything. I mean, Dolph Ziggler held it.
And he held it, I mean, okay, fine, he held it for like 3 weeks, but does that mean he should be considered a world champion? No.
No.
He does. He shouldn't be. Swagger shouldn't be either. Look at their position in the company. Should they be considered former world champions? No.
No.
Yes, that would defeat the purpose of me saying AJ Styles is a former world champion. Well, then make it like WCW did. There's a reason why they called the United States title the United States heavyweight title. Because it was a step under the world title. People would go, TV title, United States title, world title.
Rusev is going to feud with Titus, apparently.
That's going to be a great feud.
I agree with you, though. They should switch to contenders. Titus should run after the NXT title.
You know, and I will say, just for future reference, I am going to be making a video about my opinion on the brand split. It will be a react, and I will be taking the video that Stephanie and Shane did earlier.
Oh my goodness, that was so awful.
This week, and
Adam Rose got a haircut.
I'll just put it this way. Very behind the videos that I'm... I'm very behind in doing videos. So once I catch up a little bit, that'll be one of the videos I'm doing. So...
Also, according to Figure Four Wrestling, Sasha Banks is cleared to wrestle.
Well, that's good news. They shouldn't have told anyone. They should have just kept it under wraps, because now people are going to expect her to be on TV, which I think she should be. But I'm not on WWE creative.
Let me ask you a question. Let's end this with me asking you a question and plugging something here. Mr. Michael Klinko, have you heard of the High Spots Network?
I have.
Do you know what it is?
It's basically their WWE network.
Yeah, with a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know you can get a free month on the High Spots Network with the code all caps PWN? It's true if you didn't know.
I did not.
Let me read the little blurb I have here. Sorry, I have a blurb. Where is it? Here we go. The High Spots Wrestling Network is proud to partner with Pro Wrestling Nation to offer listeners one free month of High Spots Wrestling Network using the code PWN, all caps. New accounts will gain access to over 2,040 hours and counting of premium wrestling content. The High Spots Network features top worldwide promotions such as PWG, Progress, RevPro, UK, WXW, US, WSU. It also highlights many regional US promotions such as PWX, FIP, NEW, Queens of Combat, IWA Mid-South, AAW, and many more. Subscribers will also find hours of shoot interviews featuring all the episodes of Kevin Steen Show and Old School with Steve Corino. We also highlight the content, the original content that High Spots produces, such as documentaries, Harley Race, Jim Crockett, Rock and Roll Express, etc., and fans' favorites like $5 Wrestling. So basically, it's $9.99, and you could enjoy it on your tablet, on your PC, Roku, or things like that. And, yeah, highspotsnetwork.com, code word PWN, all caps. I kind of want to get this, man. I really like PWG, and these guys are pretty up-to-date on PWG.
To further push High Spots, they're, what was it? Jim Crockett Promotions, the Glory Days DVD that they created a few years ago, was a... very good DVD, you know, extremely in-depth and really told a good story about the once leader of the Golden Era, I guess you could say, in a way. And Jim Crockett Promotions.
What's that guy's name? I think I know the guy that made it. Michael, I can't think of his name. I wanted to say Michael Klinko, but that's you.
I wish I made it.
Maybe I have him on Facebook still.
Have a lot of access to a variety of big names for interviews.
I can't remember. Michael Feeney. No, that's not who it is. Who's Michael Feeney? Oh, Michael Feeney's the guy who's doing the British Bulldog petition.
I will say that if you're a fan of old school wrestling and... Mid-Atlantic Wrestling in particular, I will eventually likely do a DVD review on it when I get some time to rewatch the DVD. I haven't seen it in a couple years, so I'm game to rewatch it. But there's interviews with Ric Flair, Jim Cornette, George South, you know, the star of My Daddy Doesn't Work, He's a Wrestler, or something to that effect on YouTube. I think Dick Slater might be in it too. Don Kernoble's in it, I know that. You know, a lot of the names that are in it that I may have mentioned, you know, I mean, other than Don Kernoble, are Mid-Atlantic, I guess, in a way, legends who you would could see at the Mid-Atlantic Convention Center. I mean, Mid-Atlantic Reunions, which I actually don't know if they do those anymore, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he had a lot of names and stuff. Yeah. I can't remember the guy that made it, but I had him on the podcast one time when he was promoting the Rock and Roll Express DVD, but I don't remember his name at the moment. It escapes me.
Point is, awesome DVD, worth a watch.
Hey, did you graduate from somewhere recently?
I did. I graduated from college.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
I saw your pictures on Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at this guy, man, all growing up and stuff. What the hell?
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, that's definitely what happens. Sometimes.
That's true. Sometimes.
You got anything to plug? You got a Twitter? You got a website? You got a YouTube channel?
Well, I will plug that the... that's what I was going to say. I'll plug the videos I was referencing before that. Yes, I am very behind in recording videos, but I have a lot of ideas, some of which may include maybe discussion videos, obviously recording another episode of a Let's Play series with me and Sam, as we draw closer to the Royal Rumble. Obviously continuing the WWE Let's Play, the TNA Let's Play, maybe even bringing up new Let's Plays. As far as posts go, I have been secretly, and I say secretly because I have not mentioned it once on my actual Twitter, but I have been DMing people back and forth for the last couple of weeks as I am planning the largest post that I have ever done. It is a fan direction post.
You can only do 140 characters.
Yes, unfortunately.
So it can't be that large. Is it a Twitter post or is it a post for the website?
It's a post for the website.
Okay.
It is the first post that will actually integrate wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans in the post. And at this point, that's all I want to say about that.
Well, make sure you include me in whatever that is.
Will do. And as far as an upcoming video, I will just say this, that 2016 is the 20th anniversary of the formation of the NWO, so I will be doing a couple more videos about that. And maybe even a discussion.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So we'll see what happens, but...
Hey, so sorry to interrupt you. Just to update you, the guy that makes those High Spots documentaries, Michael Elliott.
Well, that's good to know.
Okay, anyways, go on.
But, yeah. I can talk all I want, but I got to catch up first. So, yeah. It's a lot of catching up. I got a lot of catching up to do. Some reacts, maybe a discussion or two, and recording some Let's Plays.
What do you think of the people who record themselves watching wrestling and post their reactions online? I personally don't like it because they know there's a camera on them, obviously, and they're going to ham it up for the camera.
I think, honestly, it's a cheap way to get views, but I don't really know. Well, posting it after the fact, and you're just, you know, maybe doing it, like you have a camera in camera where you're posting the live action, but there's no commentary and it's just a live footage, but it's obviously after the show. That's fine.
Yeah.
But during the show, it's a cheap way to get views.
And you could probably get sued from the WWE.
You can.
For putting their stuff on YouTube. Not sued, but like, get your stuff taken down.
Yeah, you can. It won't happen right away, but you can.
I mean, what does that lead to?
Yeah, I've gotten copyright strikes enough to know.
Oh, did you? What did you get copyright strikes for?
Music, but...
Oh.
But, yeah. Ouch. As long as you don't try and make money with the footage, you can't get a copyright strike on it. So.
Oh, were you trying to make money?
No, well, music, it's either way. You can't.
Oh, I see. Music is different. But Vince doesn't care as long as you're not making money off his products.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
As far
Wrestling Express on YouTube, Wrestling Express with one S on Twitter. And do you have a Facebook Wrestling Express page?
I do. It's Wrestling Express. It's basically the archives for the site where you can find all the posts and all that stuff.
There's a Wrestling Express official group. Is that you or no?
That is me. But
oh,
I don't really post in it, and
there's 5,000 members. What do you mean you don't post?
Well, that's not me then.
Oh, okay. It says Wrestling Express official group. There's a whole bunch of Wrestling Express stuff. Oh, is this one you with 6 members?
That's me.
Well, it's different. A little bit different. I liked your Facebook page though.
Well, that's good.
Oh, I made a group on Facebook for TEW, and I hope to get it off the ground a little bit because I feel like there's not much of a place for a community, for a TEW community.
Outside of the forum.
And I don't really post in the forums.
Me neither. Because most of the people.
I was hoping to make a TEW community, so let's hope that happens.
Yeah.
I made you an admin on it. I didn't ask you, but I just
noticed. And the last thing I'll bring up is I noticed sifting through a little bit of dirt sheet information that apparently Kerry Silken is going to confront Ric Flair about money owed.
Oh, I saw that too. I didn't really know what was going on with that, so I didn't bring it up. Do you know anything? Like, how does he owe money?
If you don't know... and this is not just for you, anybody who doesn't know, Ric Flair was actually originally Ring of Honor's ambassador before he went to TNA, I believe. And, oh no. No. Well, yes, it was before he went to TNA. But he left Ring of Honor to go back to WWE in the fall of 2009 when he did that short run for like maybe a week or two. And he just never went back to Ring of Honor.
So was he paid in advance then?
He was.
Oh.
He was. He was, I believe, paid $2,500 per appearance. Oh, no, you know what it was? It was before the Hulkamania tour.
Okay.
Yeah, it was before the Hulkamania tour. I think that's why he left. Well, he left to go back to WWE, but that didn't last. It was just a one-off appearance, and then he went on the Hulkamania tour with Hogan. And then Then he was one of the many people that went to TNA.
And then he went back to WWE, and there he is today, getting kicked out of the ring.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, good luck to Ric Flair, good luck to Kerry Silken, good luck to Ring of Honor. I hope that they get the money back, and I hope that they do big things. And I have high hopes for Ring of Honor, even though people don't like them these days.
I will say it was 6 years ago, and Kerry should get over it, but I'm not a big fan of Kerry Silken. So, not a big fan of Joe Koff either, and if you don't know why, just ask Rob Feinstein.
I'm not a big fan of Rob Feinstein either, and if you don't know why, just ask To Catch a Predator.
Well, let's just say Rob Feinstein made it out that Ring of Honor started in 2004, yet they were just celebrating their 14-year anniversary.
Yeah, no, they started in 2002. I remember.
Yeah, and it was also, he did not give credit to Gabe Sapolsky or Rob Feinstein or Doug Gentry for starting the company.
Wow.
He only gave credit to Kerry Silken, who Kerry did not join the company until 2004.
Oh, so he's like, this company didn't really exist till Kerry came along.
Pretty much, yeah.
Crazy, crazy stuff, crazy stuff. I guess we'll end it on that. It's a pretty sad note, but yeah. Thank you very much, Michael Klinko. Thank you to you. Thank you to WrestlingExpress.net, and thank you to everybody else.
Thank you for having me back.
No problem, man. I hope you enjoyed Extreme Rules. And I look forward to the draft. We'll definitely have to talk about that soon. Even if it's like not on a podcast or whatever, we'll definitely be talking about that soon.
Yeah, me too.
All right, man. Take care.
You too.
Later.
Bada boom.
realest podcaster in the room. How you doing? Welcome back to Pro Wrestling Nation. As if you went anywhere, right? No, but for reals, welcome back. Thank you very much to Michael Klinko of WrestlingExpress.net for stopping by. It was a good time. It's always a good time talking to Michael Klinko. We do a YouTube Let's Play together. It's going to be TEW again, like I mentioned before. And we do WWE 2004. We do separate Raw, SmackDown, because it was split back then too. We do a separate brands. We both book both brands, like we're doing it together. But it's really fun. And we're on the road to Royal Rumble. So come check us out January of 04 and see who we pick up and who we use and who we push and who is champion. I think all of our champions remain the same, though. Anyways, yeah, so check it out. It's awesome. It's fun. It's really fun. And if you've never heard of TEW, you don't know what it is at all, go to Wrestling Express on YouTube and look for the one that says Pro Wrestling Nation, of course, because that's me, Funky Sam Medina, and check out the YouTube show. Start with the first episode, though, and then go to the second one and the third one. I think there's four so far. There might be five, but I think there's four. I think the first episode we did just kind of setting up, and then we did week one, week two, week three. I think. But hey, you know what? I digress. I just dropped my pen, and it slid all the way down my keyboard. Before I go, before I let you guys out of here, there's a little bit of news. A little bit of news I wanted to go over. So I told you it was Saturday when I'm recording this, and I recorded with Michael Klinko like Thursday or something, but it's Saturday right now, and on Friday morning, you know what? Let me make two corrections on the podcast, because I did say that the brand extension was announced on Tuesday morning. It was announced on Wednesday morning. And I also said AJ Styles will never be world champion. And Michael Klinko said, yes, he will because of the brand split. And I don't think I said, yeah, you're right. But that is true. He will be WWE champion now that there's a brand split. He'll be some kind of world champion in WWE now that there's a brand split. Because I feel like before, when they had the brand split, I mean, guys like Eddie Guerrero, JBL, possibly even John Cena, Rey Mysterio, these guys would never have been world champion if it wasn't for two brands, you know? If it was one single championship belt and one brand, I feel like there's a possibility John Cena never would have became world champion. But they were able to do it because they had another belt that was more prestigious over there. And they were able to put the world title on John Cena. You know what I mean? Anyways, on Friday morning, speaking of John Cena, segue, speaking of John Cena, here's a bit of interesting news. In fact, I want to find the actual tweet. WWE put out a John Cena t-shirt. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You know I'm going with this. It's a PBR, Pabst Blue Ribbon. Now, I don't know if you guys are all familiar with PBR. I don't know if any of you are familiar with PBR. It's a brand of beer. And it's the cheapest beer that's like nationwide, I guess. I mean, it's not the cheapest, but it's pretty cheap. I can go to the bar and drink a couple PBRs and be fine and like not pay that much. I think they're like $2.50 for a glass of PBR. Anyways, trying to find the article here. Pro Wrestling Sheet was really quick on reporting this, so I'm trying to find. Let me just find Pro Wrestling Sheet. This is great radio, you guys. I'm on Facebook looking for Pro Wrestling Sheet. I want to get the story right, and I want to tell you like it is. Okay, so anyways, the WWE announced a new John Cena t-shirt. And it was the PBR logo, only instead of saying Pabst Blue Ribbon, it said John Cena. And, it says Hustle. Oh, okay, so across the top, it says Hustle, where it would say Pabst. And then it would say Respect, Loyalty, or whatever, Loyalty, Respect, where it would say Blue Ribbon. And it's the blue background with the red stripe. The stripe's on the other side, and the ribbon's not really a ribbon. But looking at this shirt, you go, oh, a PBR shirt. First of all, the first thing I noticed was, they sell PBR shirts of John Cena in kids' sizes. Kids' sizes. They have a t-shirt made to look like a beer, and they sell them in kids' sizes. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Is the PBR tweet here? Oh, come on, PBR. Where is it? Pro Wrestling Sheet didn't quote it. Oh, yeah, they did. Okay, cool. So let me just read you the story. WWE says they would no longer sell Johnson's new Pabst Blue Ribbon-inspired shirt. Oh, by the way, this article is called... where is it? Never give up unless you're being threatened with a lawsuit. This is great. This is great. This happened today. WWE says they will no longer sell the John Cena's new Pabst Blue Ribbon inspired shirt, even though they don't believe they did anything wrong by making it. A rep for WWE says, as a content creator, WWE respects trademarks and intellectual property, and therefore will not proceed selling the merchandise, despite it being an original design, clearly within fair use. For those who missed it, Cena's new tee was put out Friday morning and bared a strong resemblance to Pabst Blue Ribbon's logo. So much so, PBR tweeted, saying, a message to John Cena and WWE. We have a chokehold called Cease and Desist. Pretty sure we see you. The shirt has already been pulled from the WWE shop. Thank you, PBR. Thank you for putting a fork in the new John Cena t-shirt. I mean, I wasn't going to buy it or anything, but it's funny just because WWE is trying to, like, be Mr. Oh, we're going to steal your logo, and guess what? They didn't do it. Speaking of tweets, Cinnabon tweeted. I found a screenshot of this on Facebook, and I sent it to my girlfriend because she loves Big Cass, and she loves, really, really loves Enzo Amore. In fact, they were still heels. And she's telling me, those guys are money. And I'm like, no, they're not. And she's like, those guys are money. And I'm like, they're really annoying. And she's like, no. Those guys are money. And, you know, I guess she's right, because they're money. anyway, Cinnabon tweeted this and says, at WWE All Day 21. This is, what's his face? EA. Eric Anthony, Enzo Amore, whatever you want to call him. WWE, EAL, whatever. My name is Cinnabon, and I am a certified sweet and a bona fide treat, and you can't teach that. And they tweeted it to Enzo and Big Cass, so I just thought that was funny. What else is going on in the world? Is there any other news I want to talk to you guys about? Tony Schiavone got a job working at Starbucks. That's pretty cool, right? He said he did it for the benefits. Let's see here. Rob Van Dam and Sabu up in Ancient Alien Smoke with Action Bronson. Who the hell is Action Bronson? I gotta see this because I like Ancient Aliens. Action Bronson's popular Ancient Aliens 420 special from Viceland is coming back for another round. The Sheet, I'm reading this off the processing sheet again, and The Sheet has learned Rob Van Dam and Sabu are making a Stony appearance. Oh, that's cool. That's all I need to know. Big news. Okay. Yeah, I guess that's about it. Dixie Carter definitely does plan on speaking to the recently released WWE talent. She said in an interview recently that she does want to speak to them, and she would love to see a few of them coming into TNA. And I guess that's all the news. So you guys, thank you for listening to the show. There's another rumor. There's a rumor going around that Alberto Del Rio and Paige stopped inside of a tattoo parlor. This is a rumor, though. I don't know if I believe it because the tattoo they showed Paige had a little poppy on her. It says PAPI, and it like looks like a child wrote it with a marker. So I feel like if it was Paige's real tattoo, she would get a little more creative, you know, maybe write it in cursive or write it in old English, or just, it looked like a 5-year-old wrote it, like somebody who just learned how to write. And it looks like a $25-$30 tattoo. And you know she can afford it. You know he can afford it. But anyways, the rumor is that they got tattoos. Hers says Poppy, and his, we don't know what his is. It might say Pagey. I don't know. But it's not really news. It's just a rumor. And I don't believe it, so I just want to throw it out there because I don't believe it. And when it comes out that it's a hoax, you can just say that you heard it here first. On Gorick.net, on Pro Wrestling Nation, on Funky Sam Medina's podcast. So thank you guys for listening. This has been another great, amazing, awesome, spectacular, death-defying, action-packed episode of Pro Wrestling Nation. And I have been your host, Funky Sam Medina. So, for Samoa Joe, for Frankie Kazarian, for Christopher Daniels, for Michael Klinko, I am Funky Sam Medina. Thank you for listening. Peace out.